If you think like, act like, or are trying to grow like a franchise, then the Franchise Euphoria podcast is for you. Hello and welcome, everybody. Josh Brown here, and I created this podcast for one main goal: to help people who are trying to grow their business through franchising or franchise-like structures. I've been practicing law now as a franchise lawyer for many, many years, and I've seen it done the right way and the wrong way. This podcast is not filled with a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo. Rather, I talk with real people, people who have been there, have done it, are doing it right now. And I also dive deep into specific topics related to franchising. So if this is of interest to you, you are at the right place. So today's episode of Franchise Euphoria, I'm thrilled to welcome Josh Skolnick and Zachary Butler, who are the co-founders of Horsepower Brands. They teamed up to start and create and grow Horsepower Brands, which has teamed up on a mission to responsibly grow service-based franchise brands. So these are two people, in Josh and Zach, who both have a lot of experience in franchising. Josh brings a lot of experience from a franchisor perspective. He's a serial entrepreneur who began a successful landscaping business in his youth. And in 2008, he founded Monster Tree Service and grew it into a multi-million dollar franchise with over 200 territories across the U.S. before selling it to Authority Brands in 2020. And in 2018, Josh took over Redbox Plus, a patented combination portable toilet and dumpster rental service, turning it into a nationally recognized brand with over 240 territories. He teams up with Zach, who began his career in franchising as a young, ambitious franchisee with a Nebraska-based Complete Nutrition franchise. Later becoming a multi-unit franchisee of Color World House Painting, Inc., he went on to take up a variety of roles in franchise development with five different brands and as chief development officer of Redbox Plus. So the thing with Josh and Zach are they bring a real good combination of skills together in formulating Horsepower Brands. You know, you've got Zach on the one hand, who's got a lot of experience and success on the franchisee side and on growing those franchisee units. And you've got Josh, who has a lot of success on the entrepreneurial side of taking a business and turning it into a franchise and then successfully growing it. And so they've created this new company called Horsepower Brands, where they are working with companies to help grow service-based franchise brands, to help grow and create those. And it's a really interesting conversation that I have with Josh and Zach, just about their history, about their experiences, and about what they hope to achieve with Horsepower Brands. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this interview with Josh and Zach. Hello, Josh, Zach. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How you both doing?
Good.
Doing well. Appreciate you having us.
Well, yeah. So today I'm excited because we've got two people I'll be talking to. And, you know, as we talked about a little bit pre-recording, we'll do our best to not have anybody talk over one another. But you guys are the brain power and the experience behind Horsepower Brands, which is in the franchise space. And we're going to talk all about that. You know, both of you bring a good amount of franchise experience. And I love that. I mean, that's what this show is all about, is people with franchise experience. So if you wouldn't mind, as we kick this thing off, Josh, why don't you tell us a little bit about your bio, and then when you're done, Zach, why don't you share yours as well?
Yeah, so Josh, appreciate you having both Zach and I today. And one of the things that you'll learn as we have this conversation is where Zach and I get along so well as business partners together is I bring a lot of franchisor experience, and Zach brings a tremendous amount of franchisee experience and has been heavily involved in development. But on my background, you know, I've really been a serial entrepreneur for many years, started in my pre-teenage years with a landscaping business in a local neighborhood where I grew up, and grew that throughout Eastern Pennsylvania, and then ultimately moved on to other business ventures after selling that business. Found myself back into the green industry in 2008 in the tree care industry, and then built up what many would believe to be an 800-pound gorilla within the tree care industry in Eastern Pennsylvania. I later decided to franchise that business in 2012, and that's when I got my start into franchising, and With my first brand, Monster Tree Service, I was very fortunate to have some early success and award franchises early on in that venture, but realized very quickly I didn't know a whole lot about franchising. So unfortunately, after awarding 28 franchise units, I was forced to really stop development to work with the franchisees that I had in the business and figure out all the things I didn't know about what I needed to do as a franchisor. It's probably the best investment of time that I've given into any business venture I had, because it really taught me a lot and gave me a very strong foundation to relaunch development in late 2016, early 2017, when Zach and I had actually met, you know, through a mutual acquaintance, and successfully grew the business to over 240 franchise units before selling it in 2020, September of 2020, to Authority Brands, at the point that there was 240 franchise units. But I was still involved in franchising at that time, because in June of 2018, I acquired a franchise system with four franchise units by the name of Redbox Plus, and successfully grew that. By June 1st of 2021, we'll have over 300 franchise units. And Zach and I worked together on that brand as well. And Zach headed up development. So as we've moved along, we've learned a lot, successfully awarded over almost 700 franchise units collectively together in my existing businesses and now under Horsepower Brands. And, you know, I'll probably talk a little bit later about the birth of Horsepower Brands and what makes our partnership together very unique in what we're doing to really change the franchising industry from a responsibility standpoint and more of an alignment standpoint with franchisors and franchisees. But I want to make sure I give Zach an opportunity to share a little bit about his background before we get deep into Horsepower Brands and Mighty Dog Roofing, our first franchisor entity within that organization. So Zach, why don't you give your background?
Yeah, so my experience comes on the flip side. So Josh was on the franchisor side, I was on the franchisee side. And I'm from a small town in Nebraska, went to college in Lincoln, and I took a part-time job with a retail nutrition concept, and that was before they, at the time, had any franchise locations, and I became a manager at 18 overnight. I think someone quit or didn't show up, and I kind of inherited the position, and I was good at that. They began franchising when I was 20, and I thought, you know what, I'm running the top-grossing location in the country, and I'm only 20 years old. I can make a lot more money being a franchisee. So I convinced the founder of that brand to co-sign an SBA loan. I moved to Florida, didn't know a soul, opened up my first location, and it was a fantastic first year, did just under $1.3 million in revenue.
Oh, that's great.
And quickly rose to seven locations throughout the state, doing nearly $8 million in revenue. And it all came crashing down on me. I was a young guy. I was only 23 years old. Didn't quite have the business acumen at the time and just grew way too fast. And unfortunately, lost everything and then had to rebuild. And so I partnered with another gentleman who had 10 locations, and my skill set was more on sales, recruiting, training, and marketing, and that's what he needed help with. So from there, we grew that from 10 to 68 locations. And at that time, we owned 30% of the system. So there was over 250 locations. We were the largest franchisee by, I think, three times at that point. Left that, got into development, met Josh. You know, and Josh and I really met when Monster Tree was rebuilding, and just, you know, there's people that I believe are destined to meet and work together. And that's what I believe Josh and I are. But we both have the same value, same personality, and we grew that business quickly. And while doing that, I was also doing development for several other brands as well. So really my background, I guess, when franchising is on the franchisee and then franchise development side.
You guys are like this dynamic duo, huh? I mean, I will tell you this. I've been doing this show for 8.5 years. I've got nearly 400 episodes. I've been in franchising for, if you count my business experience in it and my legal experience, probably approaching 20 years, 18, 19 years. And it's very rare that you find, you know, this kind of a combination, right? I mean, Zach, with you having a lot of experience on the franchisee side, and then Josh, you having a lot of experience on the franchisor side, that's a really unique combination. I mean, do you guys find the same thing? I mean, I don't know anybody else who kind of brings those. And it's a really good combination too for franchising.
Well, it balances us out, because one of the things that I bring to the table, as I said earlier, is knowing what franchisees need. And at the franchisor level, the way you need to really roll out different services. And then from Zach's perspective as a franchisee, he knows as a multi-unit franchisee of multiple franchise systems over the years, he knows exactly what he wishes the franchisor did. And a lot of times it's even just some small things that will really move the needle of success. And then from the development background, he really understands what franchise buyers are looking for in the franchisor that they want to invest a large portion of their life savings to try to get a great return on their investment. So it's really a perfect marriage because you've got all sides of the relationship really covered. And, you know, we both have very clear lanes that we and roles and responsibilities that we fill. And it's really, like you said, it's sort of a dynasty, if you will. And it's something that we haven't personally seen within franchising. You see a lot of private equity backed companies or private equity coming in and buying companies and thinking that the key to grow a franchise system to the pinnacle of success is to just throw money at it. And unfortunately, that's not really the right path to become successful. It's providing services and support to your franchisees that allow them to really focus on the things that make them money. And then really evaluating each one of your franchisees on an individual basis, as opposed to saying, hey, we have a franchise system and it really needs to be one size fits all. And that everyone really needs to be pigeonholed into fitting into this. It's kind of like, I think Steve Jobs said, you know, a square peg in a round hole. And, you know, you really have to evaluate and have regular business review calls with each one of your franchisees to understand what are their strengths and weaknesses. Let them run with their strengths, but as the franchisor, really pick up the scraps and sort of be the crutch of the weaknesses in being able to coach and mentor. And I think that's where Zach really pushes on a lot. And you might want to just hit on that piece quickly, Zach, to add some context.
Yeah. So when you look at different franchise systems, it typically is a similar story where there's a corporate location. It's been around for 10, 15 years. That corporate location, you know, how they built their business isn't how a new franchisee is going to build their business when you look at customer acquisition, technology, et cetera. So there's a disconnect there. And that's just the start. But to get to Josh's point, when you look at mentoring and where franchising is lacking, is that people that build huge franchise systems are serial entrepreneurs like Josh. And the typical franchisee is not like that. Most franchisors would just give you a 300-page operations manual that you're probably never going to read. And then they wish you on your merry way and wish you all the success possible. What they really don't help you do is become a better entrepreneur or business owner. Josh and I talk about this a lot. We like to look at two things. The first is, what's the average unit level sales per location in our system? And then what's the average unit level happiness? Are people happy in the business? Are they stressed out all the time? Are they organized? And I think as a franchisor, it's not our responsibility to help franchisees become better and more efficient entrepreneurs, but it really is something that we have the ability to do. So why not just provide that extra value and make their lives easier, which then obviously comes back to us.
Well, Zach, what I like though too is, I mean, between both you and Josh, and I'll start with you, is it's the real world, feet on the ground, hands dirty kind of mentality of, you know, both of you are bringing real world success and failure. I don't even want to say failure. That's the wrong way. I mean, you know, bumps along the road, right? And the reason I say that is because everybody has them. And so, you know, when you're talking to prospective franchisees or, you know, as you said, Zach, you know, people who get into franchising, and I see this all the time. I mean, you know, you have people who you can talk to, you can meet with, you can look at what their experiences are, and you can get a good sense for yourself. Yeah, this is a good person to be a franchisee. And then you have others that you can meet with, you can talk with, you can identify and understand their background and say, yeah, this is not what they should be doing. And I think though, with your background, you know, Zach, as a franchisee, I think that's very helpful. I mean, I think that, you know, you not only would be able to help identify those things, but also help people along the road. I would love to hear about, you had mentioned when we started off about how everything kind of came crashing down. And I don't want to bring back memories that are hard for you, but I think that the lessons that are learned can help others from not experiencing the same thing. So I'm curious, because in franchising, there's this homage to, you know, fast, fast, fast growth. Let's grow as fast as possible. And I don't have a problem with fast growth. I've worked with companies that grow extremely fast and have done very, very well. And there are some that grow fast and don't do as well. And there's many, many reasons as to why. But I'm curious, it sounds like you had some really good success. You helped grow that franchise system you were involved in. And then you said that it came all crashing down. What happened?
They're not hard memories at all. If anything, valuable lessons. I wouldn't change anything. that happened. And so there's three major, I would say, forks in the road that happened. Number one is that brand sold nutritional supplements, which we were the first company to advertise on the radio. And we got these things off the ground very quickly. And we weren't focused as much on product diversification and results for the customer as we probably should have been. And Amazon came into that market and just turned it on its head. And so in weight loss specifically, it's very hard to maintain a repeat customer because people have to completely change their lifestyles. So Amazon came in and really flipped that business on its head, number one. The second is when, as a franchisee, I wasn't forecasting my revenues and budgets like I should have been. So I was focused on top line, growing as fast as I could and keep feeding the beast when it comes to advertise more and more and more. And what I really wasn't doing is managing my inventory shrink, managing payroll, and really getting into the business as far as a financial aspect. And looking back, I think I was probably on the cusp of needing a CFO for that type of volume that I was doing. And, you know, I was 23.
You were a youngin'.
I was a young lad for sure. And the real kicker that happened to me is, you know, anytime in business, you want to make sure that you're planning a way out if things don't work out. And when I was 20, the franchisor helped me negotiate all of my leases. So what I didn't know is that I was personally guaranteed on every lease for the full 10 years of the agreement. Ouch. Or the full 10 years of that lease. So, you know, I couldn't just shut them down and walk away. I was personally guaranteed to every location, which now in our franchise for Mighty Dog Roofing, for an example, you know, it's not a retail lease, so it's not near as costly, but we still do have someone that we know and trust to help them negotiate their leases. And we have all of those leases reviewed by a franchise attorney. That's one of the vendors that we push them to. So we want to make sure that that doesn't happen to someone else. And again, not that it was the franchisor's responsibility to look out for my best interest, but I sure thought they were.
And then Josh, I mean, on the flip side, I know that you talked about the success that you had with the tree service. And then it sounded like you maybe had a couple of hiccups there as well. I could be wrong on that, but it sounds like, I mean, when you were growing the tree service brand and then growing it through franchising, what kind of hiccups did you experience, and what kind of things did you learn from that?
You know, when I launched Monster Tree Service, I had no experience in the franchising industry. So I was really learning as I went. And so as a result, I think, and this is a common mistake I think a lot of franchisors make, is that you really don't break everything down in your systems and processes to dot every I and cross every T. So there were certain aspects of running one of these businesses where I said, well, that's kind of common sense. It could be something as simple as finding a place to operate your business out of, being in the service business. We didn't need a retail location. So we were finding like a yard space or a flex space, commercial industrial type area, or getting your business insurance, workers' comp. What do those limits look like and things of that nature? So, and then there was a certain level of confidence that we were not transferring over to those franchisees within the industry itself, in the tree care industry that we were selling and operating, you know, as a franchisor. So that's really where a lot of the gaps came into play. And so when I talk about, you know, the level of knowledge I took in from that and the lesson I learned, it was a very positive one. And we were able to really invest the time in it. And it really showed me how important it is to really operate as a franchisor. And I think this is really a piece of advice I would recommend to anybody in business, is operate from a mentality of, if you build it, they will come, because you really need to be proactive. And you mentioned earlier, Josh, that, you know, you're not opposed to rapid growth. And I'm the exact same way. Like, I like to move fast. You know, I probably watched Talladega Nights too early and in life. And I learned that, you know, if you want to win, you got to go fast. And if you're not first, you're last. But at the end of the day, you know, it's like one of those things where, you know, approach things from a proactive state as opposed to being reactive. Because I think where a lot of people make mistakes is that they don't plan ahead. And so, like, when we think about the way that we conduct business, we operate from that mentality of, if you build it, they will come. So we're always thinking, today, second quarter 2021, what do we see happening in our business already for fourth quarter of this year? And what's happening first quarter next year, so that we're beginning to make the hiring decisions. We're really creating the roadmap at the corporate level to make sure that we maintain in that position of proactive versus reactive. what I learned early on too is that when you're a franchisor operating in that reactive state, you're not delivering a lot of value to your franchisees and you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. I describe it as like being a fireman putting out fires. Like, I don't want to spend 80% of my time putting out fires and being very reactive as opposed to moving the needle. Like, we want to see measurable results and see them in a very short period of time. And I think that's one of the focuses that we really have. I mentioned earlier about, you know, alignment and accountability, and more importantly, responsibility. And that's what we believe we have as a franchisor, not only handling the development internally, but also handling the operations internally and owning the franchise brands that we are doing the development on, because we have a responsibility to award franchises to the right people that are going to be a great culture fit, set the right expectations, and then get to work in the trenches to make them very successful.
So one of the things I've seen, you know, on the, not just on the legal side, but on the business side, is that, you know, you can grow fast, and I'm a fan of growing fast if you use data and you have a team to support you, right? So, I mean, if you, and what I mean by data is you have to make data-driven decisions. You alluded to it a minute ago, Josh, and what you just said, in that, you know, you're taking a look to see, you know, what is the data telling you about where you're going? You're being proactive. And the thing I sometimes see franchisors miss, and it's a very costly miss, is they don't take the time to put together what their strategy is going to be and to build out their team. And if you are going to go fast and you're involving a lot of people, you're involving a lot of locations, and you're going to try to go fast, you're going to have data to help support that fast growth. Or else a lot of times it comes crashing down. Now, you're also going to have a team to help back you up. But I also like to reiterate too that I don't think there's anything wrong with growing slow and deliberate either. I think that a lot of franchisors are still trying to figure things out as they continue to grow. And I would much rather a franchisor grow a little bit slower and be comfortable and kind of grow within their geographic sphere. And then it's like, you know, grow slow to grow fast. I think that that is, there's nothing wrong with that either. So there's not a right or a wrong answer. But clearly with you guys, the two of you, you know, Josh and Zach, you guys have clearly demonstrated, even before Horsepower Brands, which we're going to get to in a second, that you were clearly together able to grow and get some real good momentum behind your businesses. And I'm curious, and maybe you can, Josh, kick this off by talking about that as you saw with the Monster lawn service that you had, and then dovetail that into the Horsepower Brands.
Yeah, I think data is extremely important. You know, understanding the KPIs that really move the needle in each one of your franchisees' businesses is really what's going to drive success. So what we've always done is we've put operations partners in place on a regional basis to make sure that they're working with the corporate team, to make sure that they're measuring and managing all of these items, and then working with each one of the franchisees to improve them. We do something that's very unique in our business, is that we take the bottom 20% of the performers in our business and we put them on what we call a low performers action plan. And then we take the bottom 10% and we encourage them to resell their business. What we learn as a franchisor over the years of operating, and Zach would even speak to this as well from a franchisee perspective, is typically a low performer in a franchise system is not a result of the franchisor. It's a result of the effort that a franchisee is putting in. And I can tell you, being in the service space is really the area that I've become an expert in and my focus has been on for many years, is that it has nothing to do with market, because the services that we are in, the services that we look to get into, are services that are needed by all, regardless of what region of the U.S. you're in. And so as a result, you know, we're making sure that we have all of this data and we're driving it in a very positive way, but also having at times what I like to call carefrontational conversations with franchisees to drive them outside of their comfort zone, to encourage them to be successful.
Wait, what did you call that? Can you say that again? Did you say carefrontational?
Carefrontational conversations to push people outside of their comfort zone so that they're really pushing the limits on themselves. Because I think when people are making a shift from being an employee or a W-2 wage earner and coming into business for the first time, they take a very conservative approach to everything that they're doing. And you really want to focus on, getting people much more comfortable with making decisions and being very decisive as opposed to indecisive. Because for many people, as a first-time business owner, they're accustomed to, we'll meet people that say, oh, I manage a department and we were the marketing division for Coca-Cola. Well, you've got a multi-billion-dollar marketing budget. Now you're doing marketing with your own dollars. Like, it's a little bit different than when you can just pull the trigger and go, oh, we ran Super Bowl commercials. Did you get any customers out of it? Probably not, because people already knew the brand. Was it an effective use of dollars to try to grow your business and generate leads? And so it's these types of conversations that we're having with people to not only create reality checks, but also give them a clear path to become successful. And so this is largely what drove us into, creating the Horsepower Brands. And I'd like to kick it over to Zach to let him speak to what really created the drive for us to want to work together and build an umbrella of home service brands that we're truly on a mission with a vision to build a multi-billion dollar company with some very large franchisor organizations that we're going to build from an emerging state. We're not acquiring existing companies at a franchisee level. We are acquiring existing owner-operated businesses that we identify as businesses that are in industries that we believe are fragmented, needed by all, but more importantly, that have a founder and existing employees in place that want to really see others excel within an industry that most people would never view themselves in until they come across franchising and recognize the financial gain that they can have within these businesses. So, Zach, why don't you talk about the birth of Horsepower Brands?
Yeah, so Josh and I worked together. We were always mentally very aligned. By building out several other brands, one thing that just drove me absolutely insane was they talk about how successful their franchisees were. I said, well, what are their revenues and, what are their EBITDAs look like? And they would have no idea. They'd have said, well, I won't know the EBITDAs until I file the FTD. And I'd say, well, then how do you know they're doing well? So a lot of franchisors just assume that if the royalties are getting paid, that the franchisees are doing well. And that's just not the case. So when you talked about data, Josh, I think that's important. One of the things that we look at is creating customized dashboards that we pull in data from several different sources, from the CRM, from QuickBooks to our call center to Home Advisor. There's 9 or 10 different platforms that we're actually pulling in data and organizing it in one place so the franchisees can see that all in one login. And one of the things that we had a lot of success with in the past was with the nutrition stores. We had, I think, over 250 employees. And we had employee rankers that showed the employee performance from best to worst, and it was public. Everybody saw it. So you knew if you were in the bottom or the top every Monday, and we do that same thing in franchising. That's one of the things that obviously helps us make decisions by using the correct data. But when I explain this to Josh, anytime that we can get an edge or we can move the needle, we always take advantage of that. We don't wait around and wait for, as Josh says, we don't wait around for the fire to start. We're making sure the things that lead to those fires don't happen. But Josh and I talked about what we wanted to do long term. We wanted to create a brand that we could scale quickly by using our experience, capital, and doing the right thing. And, that's where setting the brand up, heavily negotiating with vendors to get the best pricing for the franchisees, leveraging technology, but really looking out, not when we're growing this business, not looking out to where we get to 50 locations, but how do we get to 500 and how do we become the 800-pound gorilla in North America? So I think our vision's a lot bigger than a typical franchisor would think.
You guys want to give Neighbourly a run for their money, huh?
We want to buy Neighbourly. That's what we want to do.
I like that. There you go. I know Neighbourly well. They're good. Yeah. I mean, they're obviously just focused on the service-based franchise brands as well. So you guys come in, let me just make sure from the get-go, with Horsepower Brands, the idea is that you're going to help grow these service-based franchise brands. Now, are they all franchised already when you're working with them? Or are some of these brands that you're going to literally build from the outset and turn into a franchise and then grow?
These are brands that are not franchised yet. So these are corporate run, owner operated businesses that some are considering franchising, have done some preliminary research and thought about it. We do not want to teach an old dog new tricks. So our focus is not getting involved with businesses that already have systems and processes that could potentially be broken, franchisees that are underperforming. We want to be able to build the foundation of the house that we're going to build that's going to be extremely successful. And like when we acquired Mighty Dog Roofing, there was an existing corporate location and one franchisee in that business. And so that was something that was at an early enough stage that we said we would be more than happy to get involved. Now, the founder had a couple other potential buyers that he was looking to award franchise territories to at the same time that we got involved. And we said, pump the brakes. No way. We do not want to take on the responsibility of three existing franchisees. One is enough. And I will tell you that even with just that one franchisee, it's been a mountain to climb to get him to adapt to the way that we operate, adapt all of the new marketing, technology, and everything that is going to drive results in his business. And we talked about data, and we've got the data to back up that this has already been working in the existing corporate location with tremendous amount of year-over-year growth that they're already seeing in the very early stages of leveraging things that we've implemented. We're seeing it in our new franchisee launches. And what happens is he'll eventually catch on and be willing to adapt it once he sees how the newest franchisees blow right past him in annual revenue and just really drive success in their business.
So Josh and Zach, I'd love to hear both of your thoughts on this. And Zach, we could start with you. Is, you know, I find it really interesting. And I'm really curious about, you know, when you're looking at a corporate business that either has the makings of a brand, has the startings of a brand, you know, maybe has a couple locations. I guess my first question is, you know, when you're looking at it, you're obviously looking at it from the perspective of franchising it. Is it important to you, Zach, that they have multiple locations already open and operating? Or is it okay if they have one and you guys can either see the vision for how it would grow, or maybe perhaps it's, you know, in an industry that you've already seen other competitors, you know, grow from? How do you sort of assess that when they're this early and when you're contemplating turning them into a franchise brand?
The number of locations isn't that important to us. As long as that there's at least a flagship location that has good systems and processes, has a solid team, a good story, and that we can leverage their experience. We assume that we're going to come in and we're going to leverage technology. Josh and I, we spend a lot of time on the franchise or customer acquisition strategy. If we can get the phone string off the hook for franchisees, it makes our jobs a heck of a lot easier. So we expect to change their marketing strategy quite drastically. And we're going to implement a large level of technology they're probably not really using. We really look for the industry level experience and at least having really good internal systems and processes when it comes to the industry itself. That's what's important to us.
What about you, Josh?
For me, it comes down to what I said earlier, services that are needed by all, a business that is in a fragmented industry. I'm just going to throw it out there. We love to disrupt sleepy industries. We like to go into businesses that are not sexy. We're not selling on passion. We're selling on a need.
You like the tried and true ones that need maybe some more, that need advancements in technology, or you see something where you can come in, add an immediate jump start and a benefit, and now tell a little bit of maybe of a different story and a tried and true brand. I mean, is that fair?
It's exactly the way we look at it. We want to come in, we want to disrupt the industry. We want to raise the level of professionalism. We want to raise the bar in our competition. Mighty Dog Roofing is a great example of that. You know, you think of a roofing business, nothing sexy about it other than the return on investment. But we've taken an industry that, you know, think about the experience you might have had when you called a roofing company to come to your own house, whether it be for a repair or a replacement. It's like pulling teeth, number one, to get someone to answer their phone. Secondly, to even show up to, you know, provide you with an estimate. And when they do show up, when are you going to receive that estimate? Well, you know, I'll quick take you through what that experience looks like with Mighty Dog Roofing. And initial phone calls answered by our call center on the first to second ring. That call center scheduling that appointment with the local sales rep in your market. They're showing up exactly when they say they're going to show up, along with appointment reminders coming to you, not only ahead of the appointment, but within 30 to 60 minutes of the individual that's on the way. Our salesperson shows up, flies a fully autonomous drone with artificial intelligence that does an entire roof scan on your home while you're talking about what you're looking to have done. And by the way, before they even show up, we're sending you out a link to our proprietary home visualizer. We are uploading pictures of your own home applying to it all of the products that we sell and install, able to do your own research. And as a consumer, you're typically upselling yourself before we even get there to provide the estimate. And then once we're there and we fly the fully autonomous drone and we do an entire scan that shows all the imperfections in an area where asphalt shingles are used, it's going to show granule loss, any water intrusion. And then it's also linked to all of our weather technology software that will tell us if there's been any weather events in the last 24 months that might trigger an insurance claim. And we have a high percentage of customers who fully expect to pay for that roof repair or replacement that now have it covered by insurance. And then if there is an insurance company involved, the report that we generate in under 30 minutes while on site with you will also help us to build that custom estimate right on site. So that in 30 to 60 minutes, we leave, you've got a custom detailed report that outlines everything that's going on your roof with images and pictures of all of those imperfections, gives you everything you need to know exactly what the cost to replace it or repair it's going to be. And if there's an insurance company involved, we have internal insurance supplementers that are going to work directly with your insurance company that's going to get your claim approved in under 48 hours so that you're able to get a new roof on your home and do it in a very seamless way without having to go back and forth with an adjuster. And truly, at the end of the day, Josh, what we're doing in that industry is game changing, and we're creating what's going to be the gold standard that insurance companies go to. And that's our vision and our mission is to be the company that all insurance providers across the country look to when they've got claims across the country that involve roof damage or repairs, that they're going to leverage us to offset some of their own internal expenses with their own adjusters, because we can deliver to them a detailed report that they're going to send somebody out to try to get the same exact information without the level of industry knowledge and expertise that we bring to the table.
And Mighty Dog now has 40 locations, correct?
That's correct.
Wow. Okay. That all sounds great. I mean, it really, really does. How do you do that across multiple businesses though? I guess at the same time, I mean, do you have others under the umbrella of Horsepower Brands at this time?
We do not. We're in the process of negotiating some additional acquisitions currently, and we expect to roll out our second and third brand over the next 6 to 12 months.
No, that's great. I mean, the franchise industry, and you guys both know this. I mean, when it's done well, it's a tremendous growth mechanism. And when it's not done well, it's horrible. It can be horrible, I should say. I mean, it's not an either or proposition. I know there's a lot in between. It sounds like, and Zach, I'd love for you to chime in on this as well, because, you know, you coming from the franchisee side, you know, I think you could probably speak to this well. Tell me some of the things specifically that you guys are doing, you know, to differentiate, you know, Horsepower Brands and what you bring to the table from a franchisee experience, right? Somebody who's contemplating becoming a franchisee, a prospect, somebody who's looking to get in to the franchise business. What are some of the things that you guys are doing to try to help ensure that there's that synergy there between franchisee and franchisor? Because the best franchise systems have that, you know, the best franchise systems understand that both sides need each other. And even though they might not always agree on everything, that they both have the same North Star that they're looking at. And so there's a trust there. And if there's not a trust, then you don't have anything. And the ones that do have the trust really have something special. So talk about that for a minute, Zach.
Well, I think I'm going to start with a fact that the IFA says, and that a franchisor needs 100 active and operating locations to be royalty sufficient. That means that a franchisor is typically losing money until they get to that level. And what we're looking at now is, because of the story that we have together, you know, Mighty Dog Roofing will be the third brand that we built over 100 units in the first year. And so we can go to a lot of these vendors, like a call center. You know, a call center is not going to build a national program for you with two locations and no history. So we can go to that vendor, and because of our story and reputation within franchising, we can get a really good program built out, and we can get rock bottom prices for franchisees. And, you know, we do that with every single vendor. And a great example of that is Owens Corning, one of the largest shingle manufacturer in the country. They have a program for their elite roofers. It's Platinum Preferred Contractors, and there's only 600 in the country. And I think Josh and I spent several months on the phone negotiating with them, and we finally convinced them that they need to give every one of our franchisees that title and that service. So that's huge, because that's the first time they've ever done that in the history of their company. where, you know, they're a publicly traded several billion dollar company, and our franchisees get a walk in day one and get, you know, those bragging rights, and they get the ability to give bigger and better warranties than the competition. And no one else can do that. So I think because of our reputation, our experience, and the capital that we bring to the table, we can start this business much differently. And so I'm going a little bit of a rant, but I'll hit on two things that kind of answers your question, Josh. The first is when you look at infrastructure and services. So a new franchise doesn't really have any royalties coming in, so they can't afford to hire, you know, a high-level CFO, a recruiter. For Mighty Dog, I think we have 17 or 18 different employees at this point. You know, most franchise locations or most franchisors don't get to that level of employees until they have several hundred operating locations. And we do that within the first 6 months of business, typically before a franchise is even launched. And because we know that the growth is going to be there and we want to stay ahead of that growth. And I know you heard Josh talk about that. If you build it, they will come earlier. And that's definitely our mentality. But, you know, when we look at the infrastructure and how that helps franchisees, every single person gives that franchisee more confidence coming through our development process that these guys know what they're doing. It completely stands out from other emerging brands. You know, that level of infrastructure is huge. And then the third is definitely the market, the customer acquisition strategy. We've now done this with three different brands. So if you want to know how to generate leads for your franchisees, you know, this is not our first time through the rodeo. We have a national partnership with Home Advisor and we're directly integrated with our call center. We have in-house staff that help do all of our SEO, all of our PPC. We're building actual industry-related websites all around the country that drive separate leads in to these franchisees as well. So when someone comes through our process looking at us versus some other service brand or any brand, there's a very clear difference in what we're providing as far as support than what other brands are. And I think that's what makes us different is that the service that we're providing or the level of services is definitely more robust and more sophisticated than other franchise systems out there.
And then Josh, from the franchisor mindset, you know, what are you trying to bring to the table that bridges the gap or does things a little bit differently, specifically in terms of the franchisor-franchisee relationship, right? We know that you're coming in with horsepower brands and you're going to be finding these tried and true companies and figuring out, you know, some things to spruce them up and spring them forward with technology and other operational efficiencies. But from a relationship standpoint, what do you see in terms of what you're doing and sort of with that franchisor mindset with horsepower brands that you guys are trying to bring to the table?
Well, I mentioned it earlier and I'll repeat it again, is that I believe as a franchisor, you have a responsibility to provide your franchisees services and support that allow them to focus on the things that make them money. And in our businesses, it's sales and production. If our franchisees can put 99% of their focus and time into sales and production, those are things that directly drive revenue and a return on their investment in their business and will help to support all the other areas of their business. More importantly, from a relationship aspect, we are very involved with our franchisees in a sense that we create advisory councils to make sure that key items in our business, whether it be a marketing, technology, operations, we'll create advisory councils to make sure that our franchisees are involved as we're developing best practices and continuously reevaluating the way that we conduct our business in all of those areas as well. And then more importantly, one of the things that we do is on an annual basis, we have somebody on the team schedule a minimum of an hour long one-on-one call with each one of the franchisees to provide feedback to us at the franchisor level in all areas of their business, starting all the way from when they went through a development process to come in as a franchisee through pre-launch onboarding, and then the time that they've actually been in operation. And what we take from these calls is we find the common themes of topics or items that are brought up by franchisees so that we can go back to the drawing table and say, okay, here's where we've made a mistake, or this is where we need to put more focus on training, or this is where we need to provide more support, and just really go through and continue to strengthen the system. If you spoke to any franchisee within any one of my existing franchisors, any of the future franchisors that we will own under Horsepower Brands, one of the things that you will hear from everybody without hesitation is that we invest in our people and we care and we spare no expense to making changes that move the needle in our businesses. And that's what will continue to make us a market leader in every industry that we're in, and more importantly, be something that people in franchising aspire to want to be and try to duplicate.
If you want to learn more about Horsepower Brands, just go to horsepowerbrands.com. It's horsepowerbrands.com. Josh, Zach, thank you guys for coming on. And as we finish up here, you know, we're coming out of COVID. We're kind of seeing things go back to a more normal routine. I'd be curious with each of your backgrounds and perspective, and we'll start with Josh and then finish with Zach, in that, you know, where do you see service-based franchises going here over the next, you know, year to 18 months?
I've personally seen a big shift in focus where people are looking to service brands as a really strong vertical within franchising. There's a quick time to ramp. We can typically, from the point of sale to launching a franchisee, have somebody in business operating, generating revenue in under 120 days. Typically in a brick and mortar style business or a retail business, you're not even going to identify where you want to sign a lease or place your business to operate in.
Yeah, typically it's like 180, right? 180 days to find a location.
Exactly. So I see it continuing to grow. It's something that when I look at it, I think there's going to be a resurgence even on blue collar trades. And I think most service businesses are going to be considered blue collar trades. And as we continue to evolve, we're going to see a little bit of focus kind of shift off of the path that many people think that most should go through. And it's, you know, K through 12, go off to college, get a job, work for 30 years in corporate America, and retire as a 401k millionaire. I think that a lot of people want to get off of that sort of broken wheel, if you will, or even just get off that hamster wheel of corporate America of having such a calculated future, and get out there and recognize that there's a lot of money to be made in service businesses. And we don't expect in the time that we're in the franchising industry that we're going to see any type of a slowdown in this area.
Zach, your thoughts?
I think I agree with what Josh says. And I think you're going to find over the next 3 to 4 years that service-based businesses are going to continue to disrupt the service industries, but at a much larger scale. What we're doing with roofing, you're going to see that in other different industries. So I think what COVID has done is it's paved a way to accelerate that disruption.
Well, thank you guys, gentlemen. I really appreciate you taking the time, Josh, Zach, to come on, talk about Horsepower Brands. Again, if you want to learn more, it's horsepowerbrands.com. I look forward to staying in touch with you guys, and maybe we'll circle back here in the next 6 months to a year and kind of get an update on where things are going with you and the Horsepower Brands company. And I wish you guys nothing but the best of luck going forward.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed it, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review. It really helps to get this show out to more and more people. Also, if you have any questions, have ideas for guests or topics, please email me, Josh at IndyFranchiseLaw.com. That's Josh at IndyFranchiseLaw.com. And finally, please note that this podcast is for entertainment and educational purposes and is not in any way, shape, or form meant to be any kind of legal advice. If you're seeking legal advice, please contact a lawyer. Have a great one. Happy franchising.